All right. So hopefully everyone's discussion groups went well, and we've got a few things we can tell Uncle Ian when he asks us. And with that, we'll ask him to come forward and give us a wrap up.
Thanks for the community. Anyone want to share what you learned? A major point? Yeah, Rachel. Oh, Rachel. That's great.
I really like the point of your question, how do you detect people that are having a form of godliness, but not entirely of. The verse came up, Matthew 7, verse 20, says, by your fruit you shall know them, by their fruit you shall know them.
Right.
And it says what the results are, kind of shows what their form is actually.
Very good. So you can see how they act and how they behave and what they do. Right. Excellent. Good. You guys also, I just happened to be in the room, so I heard another really good one of an example that you guys had discussed that you do at your CYC about doing the readings. Are you able to share that one? I thought that would be very interesting.
Yeah, we have a Bible reading challenge, I guess it's called, where we try to miss less than 12 readings, daily readings, over a course of 7 months, and if we, our whole CYC, if however many people get it, get to go on a little trip, like a fellowship weekend together.
That's great. That's good. And it works?
It works pretty well, yeah.
That's good. So I encourage everybody to do the reading. So I thought that was a really interesting idea. To share with the group. And I'm probably sure all the other groups, you probably all have very interesting things like that. It's hard to share it with everybody, right? Anybody else have anything they want to bring up? Yeah, Caleb?
Just an interesting point someone brought up in our group about the verse that says, those who strive for masteries must strive lawfully. That's my brother Cole. Joshua 6 and 7. There's a, when Joshua sees the angel, he says, are you for us or for them? He says, no. I'm a captain of the host, and this is what you need to do. So whatever, it's not our battle, we don't have our rules, or our things that are set up for us. So.
Great. Yep. Great point.
I love that particular scriptures, because how many sides, we sometimes say there's two sides to everything. What do we learn there? Well, hey, that's a really good one. I always look at there's three sides, but yes, there really is only one side, God's side. That's right. So why are we on the Lord's side? Oh, yeah, that's a very good one as well. You know, the great thing with the athlete, the example of the athlete, we live in a day and age when nobody plays by the rules. People cheat all over the place. So they have bodies of organizations to try to find people with cheating on steroids and everything. So, you know, step you strive lawfully, and we live in a world that cheats like crazy, and that's created a quite an industry. Anybody else, any other thing you wanted to share before we move on? Okay, very good. So, just a couple of quick things here that we want to just wrap up with. I'd like you to, how many of you spent time talking about Corey Dathan and Byron in your groups? Jesse, back there, okay, few, yep, John, good. Well, it comes out when we see it in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 19, we read, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So I thought about titling this slide. I depart from iniquity, but I wanted to title this slide an example of ungodliness. This is the idea of striving after ungodliness and looking for mastery in the wrong places. So let's go back in our Bibles to Numbers 16. So this is the allusion that the Apostle Paul is taking Timothy to consider the example in Numbers chapter 16. Of course, Numbers 16 is the chapter that deals with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and the rebellion that they did in the camp. Now, Korah, of course, is from the family of the Levites. And so he actually had, his family actually had a privileged position. When you look at the tabernacle, the family of the Kohathites, they were on the southern side of the tabernacle. And along that southern side of the tabernacle, you had Gad, Simeon, and Reuben. So in proximity, the tents of the Kohathites was very close to that of Reuben. And you could see what happened over time is the Reubenites are watching the Kohathites, and they're performing their service of the tabernacle, and their tents were very close. And over time, they obviously had made this, in a way, a conspiracy, but had started another priesthood, really. They were organizing another religion within Israel, and we can see that as it comes out through this chapter. So we've got this idea in verse 1. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, they're from Reuben, the sons of Elab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And that word renown there is the word Shem, or name. So they were trying to create a name for themselves within Israel. And they were really, of course, we know that Shem creating a name, that rings bells for us. That's Genesis 6, verse 4, that they were creating a name for themselves in the earth. And those are the ones that were destroyed in the flood. So the great irony is, here's Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They're trying to create a name for themselves. They're more identifying with those who actually ended up being destroyed by the flood. So then in verse 3, so the great thing about this particular chapter is, and Paul alluding back to it, to Timothy, is Timothy, when he goes through his readings, he's able to fill in all the story. And he's able to see that what Paul is taking back, he's showing those that were rising up within the ecclesia, those that were babblers and creating false religion and false teachers. It's a prime example by taking back to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Remember Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, Timothy? And look at the rebellion that they did. And look at the idea of ungodly men who were trying to rise up and have mastery. Everything opposite Timothy, I'm telling you, we should be like. That was Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And so you have in verse 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? We'll give you a hand. I mean, everybody's holy. We're all good, Moses. Why are you having to do all this work? And it sounds like a very nice thing. And the one thing you learn in the truth, and you learn from here, is that the problem that people bring up is never really the issue. It's something else. So a spiritual mind, a spiritual ear, when you hear a problem, it's not usually the real problem. There's something else. Acts 15 is a really good example of that. It was never about, at the Jerusalem conference, it wasn't just about Jew and Gentile. It was whether the Gentiles would have any place in the kingdom. That's the real issue. But you cover the issues. And so they covered the issues. Now, that's not going to fool Moses. Moses is going to see right through them. But the verse that we want is verse 5, because verse 5 is the one that relates to 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. That's where the Apostle Paul is getting this from. Well, Moses immediately, as soon as he heard it, he's a very humble man. He hits the ground. He fell on his face to the ground because he knew what these men were up to. And he spoke unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow, Yahweh will show who are his. And that's 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. And who is holy and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near to him. And so he sets up the challenge. All you men come before the Lord tomorrow. Who is with the Lord? Show who are his. And Timothy, Paul saying to Timothy, we have to show who are his. Who is God's? Who's on the Lord's side? And if we're on the Lord's side, we have to do something. And so verse 8, and Moses said unto Korah, here I pray you, sons of Levi. So Moses addresses the problem head on. He goes to the Levites because they were the ones who were leading this. So he goes to them first, Kohath. And then he says, you've lost sight of the truth. Timothy, those false brethren have lost sight of the truth. As a warrior in the truth, you're all about serving your brethren. And look what he says in verse 9. Seemeth it but a small thing, Moses says, to this rebellion, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of Yahweh and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. Do you think it's a small thing that God took you out from all the children of Israel to serve him and to serve your brothers and sisters? Think about it. And he brought thee near to him, verse 10, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye also the priesthood. So you notice a couple of key things in verses 9 and verse 10, that Moses knew right away they wanted the priesthood. That real issue wasn't that Moses took too much upon themselves. They wanted everything. They wanted the priesthood also. So did the sons of Reuben. They wanted the priesthood also. So he saw right through it. And rather than ambition, Timothy, we should be about service in the truth. It's not about ambition. It's about serving your brothers and sisters in the truth. And of course, we know the story as it moves on. They refused to come up. There's no way they're going to come up. So again, they rebelled. And they didn't want to, so Moses ended up having to go before some of them to actually go visit them at their tabernacles, at their dwelling place, in order to be able to meet with some of them, because they refused to come up. So there was a spirit of rebellion. They had promoted, really, a democratic society, verse 3. They did quote scriptures to support their cause. The people of Israel were holy, Exodus 19, verse 6. They were separated, so there's some truth to what they had. They have a form of godliness. There was some truth in what they were saying, but it was misdirected, and they twisted it for their own use. And so we see that as the story goes, we know the end of the story, that the earth opens up and swallows them. There's judgment that's placed on this rebellion. And of course, we know that some of the family of Korah stood aside. And we're thankful they did, because Samuel comes from that, one of those families. So, you know, some of they wouldn't even stand with their father in the rebellion. So some of them withdrew and stood away from it. But the point to us is they had lost sight of their brethren. They had lost sight of the fact that they're there to serve. And that's why Paul in Timothy tells him in just one little section of scriptures to go back and consider the example of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. You see what I'm talking about. You see Hymenaeus and Philetus? They're going to eat as doth a canker. If they are allowed to continue, they'll eat as doth a canker, just like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They'll continue to work until they destroy the ecclesia. And then he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, verse 19, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ, and that's us, depart from iniquity. And so those faithful family members of Korah stood apart from their father, and they stood apart because they didn't want to be part of the judgment to come. So I think it's a wonderful example to all of us to consider the example of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram that Paul is trying to get Timothy to think about, that we stand apart from evil when we see that it's being done, and we do things in the right spirit, and it's about service to our brethren. If we ever lose sight of the fact that we're here to serve our brethren, we'll head down the same track that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did. So we'll just leave it there and turn it back to Caleb.